The Outer Rim. The Final Frontier. These are the news stories of the Outer Rim. To explore strange new fandoms. To seek out new life and new science fiction. To boldly go where no fan has gone before.
Not good.
Blast!
Look, don't worry. Everything's gonna be fine. Trust me.
That's just great.
Now, discussing the news on the edge of fandom.
Set your hyperdrive motivator for full throttle.
Chewie, get us out of here!
We're headed to the Outer Rim.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode number 43. I am joined here by Eric, as usual. Eric, how are you?
I am doing great.
Awesome, that's always good to hear. And, what's that?
I said I'm kind of lying. I'm not doing great. It just sounded like a good thing to say in a podcast, because, you know, you want to have that upbeat, positive energy stuff.
Yeah, we're going to kill that in a minute here, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear you're not doing well. I mean, I'm actually excited myself. I'm starting my new job on Monday, so...
Oh, good.
Got a couple more days of where I'm at, and, it's kind of, double-edged sword. It's sad to leave. I hate leaving a place I was fond of, but a good opportunity arose, so I'm going to take that and run with it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, what has me not in a great mood is a very specific experience I had that we'll cover on Random Chatter. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll have to wait a while to hear that. Okay.
Yeah. It's been a rough day, though. Like, just in general, like, the mood of the internet has been very down.
You know, I haven't been on the internet much today at all, so.
It's been rough. Well.
Has it?
You know, we normally have kind of an unofficial no obituaries policy here on the Random Chatter Network. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago on, I think it was Echo Base.
Mm.
Eric, also spelled with a K, as appropriate, who was the voice of Admiral Akbar, sadly passed away. And normally we wouldn't point out stuff like that, but we thought it was appropriate then. The reason we don't normally cover this sort of thing is because it just seems like a downer. We used to do it way back in the day, and then there ended up being so many to cover each week, especially on Random Chatter and things like The Outer Rim. When you're covering multiple different industries and multiple different genres and stuff, somewhere there's always someone who passes away, and then it kind of became like a segment, and we didn't
really want to have an obituary segment. That
right. Yeah.
It, you're right. It does bring everything down, but.
So this particular one, though, I kind of felt like it deserves a little bit of an exception.
Okay.
Earlier today, I don't know if you caught all of the news or...
I heard about it. I did not read any of the articles yet.
Okay. So earlier today, off the top of my head, I want to say probably around, 11 a.m., 12 p.m. Eastern time. News broke from, I think Hollywood Reporter was one of the first places that had it, saying that Prince had died.
Mm.
He was found in his, I believe it's his home studio. And, the police were still on scene. They hadn't officially released the name or anything, but people who were in the know said that it was definitely him. There hasn't been a lot of, now I haven't been checking the news in the last few hours, but there hadn't been a lot of information about what was going on or anything, because of course it's private property, and the police are contacting the next of kin and all this, and so there's not really a lot of news to come out. But it was later revealed that I'm going to read. I should look up to see if I can find where I'm reading this from. Okay, so this is from DarkHorizons.com. Just wanted to give citation to the people who were kind enough to actually include this information in their post. I'm going to read this verbatim. Prince, full name Prince Rogers Nelson, was rushed to the hospital 6 days ago with flu symptoms after his private plane made an emergency landing in Illinois on Friday morning. He had been suffering from the flu for a number of weeks and was believed to be recovering, but took a turn for the worse in the early hours of Friday. He was treated for 3 hours before being released. So that was on Friday. Today, as we record this, this is Thursday, April 21st. So people, and so the first thing is he was 57 years old. Not really old, not really young either.
No, yep.
And people do die from the flu every year, and a lot of people don't think about it because generally a lot of people get the flu. But different flu viruses can interact with different people's bodies in different ways. Everybody's physiology and chemistry is a little bit different. And I'm not saying that he died as a result of the flu, but I will say that if it took him 2 or 3 weeks that he was suffering from the flu and hadn't gotten all the way over yet, and then was bad enough to be rushed to the hospital after an emergency, you know, landing in a flight, whatever was going on was serious enough that, yeah, this could completely be related to that, and probably is. And I hate to say it this way, but that makes me feel a little more resolved with this than if it had been something like a drug overdose or, you know,
it's definitely easier to,
you know, whatever. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's easier to come to terms
accept
with.
It. Yeah. Come to terms with it. Right.
Yeah. So, but you know, Prince, you and I grew up in an era where Prince was, you know, on top, and, I never really got into Prince that much back in the day. It wasn't until later when I started getting more into music as a, you know, performance and instrumentation and things like that, where I really started to appreciate what a skilled musician he was. I mean, he was one of the best guitarists out there. Musically speaking, he was one of the best songwriters we've had in ages. Mm-hmm. I was never a big fan of Prince. But even at times when I wasn't that interested in his music, I had an incredible amount of respect for him as a musician. I mean, he was insanely talented. He had a big impact on the music industry and on pop culture, and especially on the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, I was a sophomore in high school when Purple Rain came out. And I mean, that just was all over the place.
Yeah.
You couldn't go anywhere without hearing, you know, Prince in some form or another. I mean, it wasn't my music of choice per se, but you know, I had the album, I listened to the songs, and you know, it was pop culture.
I think that's considered one of the top 100 albums of all time, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The impact he had through the 80s was just unbelievable. And then on top of that, the whole thing with the fight that he had with the music labels and changing his name in order to get out of having to deal with a seemingly abusive contract that he was in. And he kind of brought attention to the plight of the artists within the music industry and how the record labels treated the artists. And a lot of people weren't aware of that sort of thing until he kind of made it a thing.
Yeah, it was probably one of the first times I became aware of kind of the plight of some of the artists out there.
Yeah.
In terms of how they were treated, how little they got from their contracts for music. I mean, that was when he changed his name to a symbol, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he didn't really talk about, a lot of people suspected the reason, but he didn't officially talk about the reason until after the contract had expired and he changed it back. So. But, you know, he had been active right up until his death. I think he had a performance last Saturday or last Sunday.
Yeah, I think I saw that on Twitter today.
Yeah. And the 2007 halftime performance at the Super Bowl. Incredible. One of the best Super Bowl halftime performances ever, apparently. I've seen that one. I haven't seen all of them, so I can't, like, I would say it was the best one I've seen. I can't say it's the best one ever because, you know, I don't keep up with baseball, but apparently it was one of the better ones out there.
Anyway.
And, yeah. So I don't know. We don't really talk about music too much on Random Chatter. I think not because you and I aren't interested in it, but I think maybe because we don't have a whole lot to say about it necessarily. But this felt like something that was worth mentioning and kind of paying respect to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Definitely.
Yeah. So there you have it. We can move on to happier things.
Sure. Well, you know, speaking of happier things, last week we talked about the fact that AMC Theaters is going to start coming up with a way to allow texting in theaters.
Yes.
Cell phone usage. And they were going to do maybe a section of the movie theater or certain screenings. And well, that blew up in their face huge. I think it was because of our podcast, right? I
mean, it probably was. We covered it that same day. And then the very next day.
Yeah, I mean, even before our podcast was posted live, it had an effect.
Yeah.
Right? See? See?
That's how good we are. Tremendous our podcast
amazing.
Affected it. Even
amazing
before our podcast was
the reach
released.
We have with Random Chatter.
Exactly.
But yeah, the CEO came out and said, yeah, okay, no texting ever, period. Done.
Yeah.
I was like, awesome. That is great. I was like, our show hasn't even gone live yet. We had this big discussion about how, you know, what the pros and cons were, and it's already a moot point. I'm like, oh, come on.
I love that. It used to happen all the time with the Forcecast. Every time we recorded on a Thursday night, Friday, there'd always be breaking news. I'm like, oh,
exactly,
come on.
Exactly.
Oh,
but, I mean, I'm actually happy. This is good news. I'm glad they're not going to allow texting in theaters.
Yes.
So many people were just up in arms about this. It just really struck a chord with everybody. I mean, I think even people, even young people, don't really want to see 20 other phones lit up in the theater. So.
When they announced it, I was wondering how they would go about doing it. And the only thing I could think of was that they would have to dedicate like two or three rows at the back of the theater. Because it's not just the noise the texting makes, it's the bright light on the phone display.
Yeah, that's the bigger part, the bright light. But, you know, some people want to sit in the back row. I mean, You know, I mean, then what if you do? You want? I want to be in the back row, and I don't want to have a guy next to me texting.
But so. The only reason you want to be in the back row is so that you can make out if you're a teenager. Because it's the only place where your parents will let you go, where it's dark, and the parents aren't going to be there.
That's true, I suppose, yeah.
Who else sits in the back row at the theater? Then it's like you might as well watch it at home. Because the field of vision, the movie screen from that far back is going to look about the same size as your home television screen.
Well, most theaters are different these days. I mean...
Just saying.
I know.
Okay. You know, a couple of other things from last week that you guys kind of glossed over because I put them in the show notes and then, of course, I ducked out on the episode. Let me go over the show notes here real quickly. I know there was something that you were like, I don't know why Eric, but Warner Brothers buckles down for future superhero films.
So oh, yeah.
With the controversy with Batman versus Superman, I guess the production executive, John Berg, and Time Warner CEO Jeff Bukes, wanted to take more of a hands-on approach. So I think it's one of these things where they're going to come in and meddle.
Oh, so it's not a good thing.
No, well, it's not a good thing for Zack Snyder. It's arguably a good thing for the audience.
Mm.
I say that on behalf of the general reception of the film. I didn't mind it, but it did have some issues, and I don't know. We'll see if that has much of an effect. The other thing was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Right.
The Easter egg that had been found. What this is there are two opponents in the game, Piston Honda and Bald Bull, where they there's a point at which during the fight they back up to the other side of the ring, and they kind of crouch down, and they lunge across the screen at you, and there's... It's a powerful hit. If you get hit by it, you're basically out. But if you can hit them in the stomach at just the right time, then they're knocked out. Like, that's the whole it. Like, not the three rounds and stuff. It's just they don't get back up. They're done. One punch.
Nice.
So what the Easter egg is there's a guy in the audience. And when I say a guy, I mean, this stuff is so pixelated, you can barely make out that they're human, let alone...
Right, right.
So there's this one person on the left... that he ducks at a certain point. And if you hit the punch button exactly when this guy ducks, that's the timing you need to execute the punch. So all you have to do is just watch that one guy. He ducks, you hit the button, boom, that's it.
Oh, sweet. Easy.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
30 years before somebody caught that.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
That's
anyway, so that's all I had to say about last week. We can move on to this week's news.
This week's news. Cinematic universes are the big rage these days, right? I mean, everybody wants to have their own.
Well, Marvel's has been so successful.
Right. I mean, that's why, because it made so much money. So DC's trying to do it, and, Star Wars arguably has theirs.
You guys talk last week about, maybe I have an item to insert here.
Oh.
Unless, did we? So I'm going back to the show notes. Oh,
I don't have last week's show notes in front of me. So.
I do, and we didn't talk about it.
Oh.
Okay, so we have two to add here.
Okay.
Give me just a couple seconds here, because there's one I want to throw in here first.
We really need the Jeopardy theme, or the you know, being played right now. Just
yes. And I'm wondering if you're thinking I'm just joking about, like, this is just a goof as I'm typing it in here because you're watching me in the Google document. But let me get to the actual. Oh, hey, I've got Evernote. I can just search. All right. Oh, I guess I have to spell it correctly, though, don't I?
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's highly overrated.
Which one do you want to take first? Hanna-Barbera? Or,
yeah, let's do that. I mean,
okay. So I can't believe this almost should be our what were they thinking segment.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think there's enough to say about it that wow. Okay, so Hanna-Barbera, if you don't know, Lou, when you and I were growing up, there were a bunch of cartoons.
Oh yeah.
For Hanna-Barbera. And again, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the DC Cinematic Universe. There was rumors for a while about an attempted Ghostbusters cinematic universe. Everybody seems to be wanting to do this stuff. So Hanna-Barbera is going to be doing their own cinematic universe, starting with the next Scooby-Doo film, which will be titled SCOOB, as in like an acronym, Scoob. It'll be released September 21st, 2018. This was announced at CinemaCon. I apologize. I thought that I had this in last week's show notes, and I guess I didn't. But this is quite the interesting thing. But what people need to remember, though, is Hanna-Barbera had a little bit of a shared universe already amongst their stuff. Because, Lou, I don't know if you remember this or not, but there
was... some of their stuff had some crossovers where characters appear on other shows,
Well, not just things like Flintstones and the Jetsons crossing over, which they had some, you know, special movie instances. But there was also the Laugh Olympics.
Right, okay, yep.
And there was whatever that race was that they used to have. They had, like, a cross-country car race sort of thing that they used to do. And I don't
wacky
remember.
Races or something?
Wacky races, that's it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And they would have different characters from within the Hanna-Barbera universe competing against one another for those.
Okay.
So those, honestly, that was some of the very first crossover universe-ish things ever. And that was, what, late 70s, probably?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So to be fair, if anybody deserves to come back and do this, Hanna-Barbera kind of started it first. I think they, you know... It's okay. But so off the top of my head, Hanna-Barbera, they've got the Flintstones and the Jetsons. They've got Scooby-Doo.
Yep.
They've got Yogi Bear. Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry was Hanna-Barbera?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Well, eventually. I think they got bought out at some point. Okay. It started somewhere else. They have...
They had the whole Dashley and Muttley guys, right? Yep.
Grape Ape, whatever that shark was.
Hong Kong Phooey.
Yep. Hong Kong Phooey. Okay. Jabberjaws. Yep.
Captain Caveman was Hanna-Barbera, wasn't he?
Captain Caveman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he was in the Flintstones several times, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Huckleberry Hound.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of them.
There were. I forgot how many there really were, but yeah, there were a lot.
Top Cat. The Smurfs are not going to be part of this. They were Hanna-Barbera, but of course they're owned by a different company. Let's see, what else was there? Johnny Quest, which I never really got into, but that was Hanna-Barbera. C-Lab 2020, which I never watched, but I have watched C-Lab 2021.
Okay, I haven't seen either one of those.
Oh, Lou.
I'm sorry, I know.
Lou. Have you ever watched Archer?
Yes.
Okay, so think... someone getting the rights to this old Hanna-Barbera cartoon that nobody watched that took place under the sea in this undersea station. Okay. So somebody got the rights to it and the animation cells and things like that. And they kind of reanimated their own cartoon with inserting their own voices of characters. Like I think Eric Estrada plays one of them and making it just absolutely. Like completely effed up.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, we're talking Adult Swim stuff. We're not talking Saturday morning cartoon stuff. I mean, we're talking like Archer, perhaps not quite as graphic.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, there's I think one of the season finales, maybe season 2 of Archer crosses over with C-Lab 2021. You've probably seen like that environment at least.
But I may have. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so you and I will talk offline. I'll see if I can help get you some of the footage from some of those. It's pretty interesting.
Cool.
Anyway, so that's Hanna-Barbera. That'll be coming in 2018, late 2018.
Now, is this going to be animated or live action?
They didn't say, at least they didn't say in that article, which was from Dark Horizons. Slash Film has an article here too. First shot at unlocking the whole Hanna-Barbera universe. It looks like it's going to be cartoons.
Okay.
I'll be
happier with that than live action. I mean,
Some things don't work well as live action.
Scooby-Doo, so
yeah. I mean, all due respect to Freddie Prinze Jr. and who else was it?
I'm actually looking through some of the other properties that Hanna-Barbera had on Wikipedia right now, and I'm laughing at some of the names of. Oh my god, I haven't seen these in years. Peter Potamus, Adam Ant, and the Secret Squirrel.
Some of those were a little too fringe for me, and I didn't get to see all of them. But
yep,
yeah, it's going to be very interesting. But that's not enough. We have yet another cinematic universe coming.
Oh no!
You want to cover this one?
Yeah, sure.
I don't mean, do you want to cover it? I mean, are you willing to cover it?
Oh, sure. Yes, okay. I'm willing to cover it. Yeah. And this is one that, I guess it could work, but I don't know.
I'd love to know how.
Hasbro wants to have their own world of all their shows and movies, and I don't know. I just, you know, they contain things like G.I. Joe. We have Mask, Mobile Armored Strike Command, Micronauts, which I've never seen, ROM, which I don't even know what that is.
ROM the Space Knight.
ROM the Space. I've never heard of ROM the Space Knight.
I've heard of ROM the Space Knight. I've known nothing about ROM the Space Knight, other than it's called ROM the Space Knight. Like, that's all
this to me is almost as bad as everybody saying, hey, let's do an R-rated superhero movie. I mean, this is the same thing. It's like, let's get all of our stuff together. Let's make movies or TV shows or series and put them all together and make them work together, and we'll make a lot of money. It's like, no, you have to have a good idea first. You have to have good, you know, a good way to do this. Marvel's done it well.
Yeah.
Nobody else has yet.
You know, we forgot to mention the Transformers cinematic universe.
Oh, we talked about that a few weeks back. Didn't we? We talked about everything they were going to do. And
Because they're going to be spinoff, like one-shot films on different characters and stuff. And they've got like a whole writing team collaborating. Oh, boy. Yeah. So this, I mean, looking at the properties they have here, G.I. Joe obviously is one of the properties from the 80s that is, I think, an untapped well of
possibilities. It's very well known. I mean, the name is pop culture. I mean, this could do well. But the rest of this stuff, I mean...
Now, I will say this, too. Mask could also do well. Are you familiar with Mask at all?
Vaguely.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard of it. I've seen maybe a little bit here and there, but yeah, I'm not.
Mask was, it was a series of toys that had vehicles that would transform into other types of vehicles. So it kind of sounds Transformers-ish, except the vehicles were just vehicles. So you had human beings and they would wear these suits with a helmet on. And the helmet would have some sort of different ability. Like one might let the guy give him the power of flight, and another one might shoot like a laser beam or something. And another one would project holograms, things like that. Mm. So the vehicles, some of them were kind of dumb, but some of them were actually kind of clever. The leader had this, not really a sports car, but kind of a sports car that the doors would open like the butterfly style. Like the wing door, the doors would pop open.
The wing doors, yep.
Yeah. The bumper and the spoiler in the rear would pop up, and these jet engine things would come out from behind, and the car would turn into a little plane, basically. My favorite one, there was a motorcycle that would turn into a little one-man helicopter. the rear wheel would kind of shift back and become the rear propeller, and the side of the fuselage would move up and kind of turn into the blades for the top. And so it was that sort of thing. You had a truck that turned into an armored vehicle, etc. They had a cartoon series for it. It never really caught on. One of the things with the toys was it was a different aspect ratio than G.I. Joe, Transformers, Star Wars. One of the cool things about those where you could put Star Wars characters in G.I. Joe vehicles, you could be G.I. Joe characters in the Star Wars vehicles, kind of interchangeable a little bit. And with Mask, everything was a little bit too small.
Right.
So yep. Never really quite clicked, partially because of that.
But the whole thing is like, you know, these aren't as well known as some of the like Transformers are right. Well known.
Right.
This is not.
No.
You know, their toys. I'm looking online here. It looks like they had 5 series. 85 through 88, I guess 5
seasons. Yeah. I didn't even know they had that many. I thought they had like 2.
Actually, they show 4 series and adventure packs. I just wonder the wisdom of doing something like this where there's not a ton of people that know about it, not a groundswelling of people saying, hey, we need this movie and we need this series coming out.
Right.
I just don't see it gaining a lot of traction. I mean, maybe if they do it well with, you know, G.I. Joe first, which, you know, we've had a couple of G.I. Joe movies recently and, you know, they haven't been the greatest.
Right. They weren't bad.
No, I watched them. They weren't fun, good. But they didn't. Yeah. Gain critical success like Iron Man has, or you know, that kind of stuff. Right. So I wonder how much money companies like Hasbro are willing to sink into this to get some bang for their buck.
I think you really hit the nail on the head there. You've got to get G.I. Joe up and running first. Then if that works, then bring in the other things. I think Mask could be the easiest to do. Micronauts, I don't really see how it would fit in with the rest of the stuff, and the same thing for ROM. It's a shame they don't still have Transformers, because there were several G.I. Joe and Transformers comic book crossovers.
Okay.
Several. Yep. And some of them were kind of cheesy. Some of the latter ones were actually pretty good. And I could see something like that working out really well. If they could do a good G.I. Joe movie and a good Transformers movie and get Michael Bay the heck out of there. And by that specifically, I mean, if they could bring the G.I. Joe or the Transformers storyline kind of back in line with what is considered by Transformers fans to be the actual Transformers universe, like the actual chronology, the canon.
Mm. That would please a lot of people.
Yeah. And I think that it would make for a great crossover thing, a great universe. I think they could milk that for years and years and years.
Yeah. And I think likewise, get the right people behind G.I. Joe and you could have something as successful as Marvel's cinematic universe.
Right.
I mean, there's enough content there to do that. And if it's done in a, you know, realistic way, instead of having it more comic book esque, you know,
right.
Goofiness sometimes. I said it in a good way. I'm not trying to say it's all bad stuff, but it's just like you could do that really well, make a really realistic G.I. Joe franchise and knock it out of the park.
Well, and the thing is, when you look at both G.I. Joe and Transformers, you've got a lot of different characters that you can pull from. One of the things about the Transformers films that always bothered me was even the first one, which arguably was the best of the, what, 4, 5?
I lost track, but
don't
yeah.
Even really care anymore. But
yeah, exactly.
It was arguably the best one of them. They had, I think, 5 Autobots. They killed one of them, who was a fan favorite from the comic books and the TV series and everything. But even in the movie, of the 5 Autobots, only 2 of them had any characterization or any personality. The other 3 were scenery. And in the subsequent Transformers films, too, most of them were scenery. In fact, this most recent one that I've tried 6 times now to watch, and I'm almost halfway through, that's the first one where some of the other Transformers really start to have some kind of a character to them. And even then, they're horrible characters. But it's like someone finally said, hey, Mike, why don't we actually, like, make the characters characters. But if you look at Transformers, there's, I mean, just countless different characters you can do things with. Look at the original cartoons. Look at the 1986 theatrical release from the cartoons. There's so much to pull from. If they could make a cinematic universe just around Transformers and do it well, they could do the same thing around G.I. Joe. I'm looking at this article from Hollywood Reporter, and they've got an old 80s style G.I. Joe logo with a bunch of the characters there. And these aren't even some of the better characters. You've got Alpine and Shipwreck and Bazooka and Flint and Lady J and Quick Kick. Snake Eyes. I mean, obviously Snake Eyes is a big one, but there are so many.
Oh yeah. It just takes the right people to do it.
Well, that's the one piece of good news about all this. The writer's room for this is actually, I think, lines per se, but I'll go through a lot of what they've done here. This is courtesy of IO9. They've got, well, first of all, who is, under the guidance of Akiva Goldsman, which sounds really, really familiar. I think he's the same guy who's doing the writing room for Transformers, actually.
Really? Okay.
I know the name, and I can't remember off the top of my head where he's from. Anyway, the writer's room includes the writer from, well, Michael Chabon. He's listed here as The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, but I know him from something else, too. Brian Vaughn. From Saga and Why the Last Man. The co-writer of Guardians of the Galaxy and the Captain Marvel movies. The guy who's writing the Kingkiller Chronicles movie adaptation. The showrunner from the Netflix Luke Cage series, which I know we haven't seen yet, but so far everything on a Netflix has been stellar.
Yep.
The two writers from Spider-Man Homecoming, which, while neither you or I cared much for the title, word on the street is that the film itself is looking pretty good so far. The writer from the Black Panther movie, the Jeff Pinkner, who, again, that's another name that I recognize, don't remember from what, but I know that currently he's writing the script for the Dark Tower series. The script writer from Blacklist.
Okay.
A popular TV series that just started up last fall. And person writing the Tomb Raider reboot. And again, some of these names, some people might recognize, some people might not. But I recognize probably half the names on this list. And this is a category in which I normally wouldn't recognize a lot of people. So it's a pretty strong writer's room, to be honest.
Yeah, sounds that way. Well, so, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, I imagine this stuff is pretty far down the pipeline.
Yeah.
As far as getting to us. I mean, I'm thinking 18, 19, probably the earliest we'd see something out of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they had a Barbary thing, it's going to be late 18. I think that that's probably a pretty safe bet. And plus, when you're doing a film, you've got, not to diminish how difficult cartoons are to make at all, but it's a different process that I imagine is going to take longer because you've got, besides the props and location shooting and stuff like that, you've also got casting. And if you're going to do this right and bring in a full ensemble cast, you're going to have to find a lot of good people.
Right. They've got to put the right pieces in place. And plus, they've got to, if they're putting this together as a cinematic universe, they've got to do a little bit of legwork up front to make sure everything fits into place as they do their second and third movies that fit together.
Right.
So, but I mean,
I agree with Rezekai in the chat room. I think they need to bring Larry Hama in on this. He's the guy that wrote the G.I. Joe comic series from back in the 80s. And it was kind of more of a mature comic book series. It was kid friendly, but it was kid friendly while being more mature.
Yeah.
And he actually created the backstory for most of the characters. I mean, he not only worked with Marvel, but he also worked with Hasbro. He's the guy that wrote all those little case ID files on the back of the action figures.
Okay.
Yeah. So they need to get Larry Hama in there. Just saying.
You know, and some of this is also they need to cater to, you know, us as the older generation, not just kids, because it's like Star Wars. You want to cater to both, but you want to make sure you bring in the old fans that were there with you from the beginning. And they need to bring us in to, you know, make sure they're going to be happy with this and we can bring in more people from there.
Yeah. We're the one buying the movie tickets.
Right.
We are the ones who will force our kids to go see it, whether they want to or not.
I may adopt a kid to go see it.
Yeah. So, yeah. See, we're the ones who are going to buy all the different versions of the DVDs if it turns out to be good. Yeah. This stuff has potential. They just have to do it right. Stop making this goofy, nonsensical, you know, Marlon Wayne's G.I. Joe and Michael Bay Transformers. And
right.
Not that Marlon Bay.
Stop making Transformer robots with, you know, male genitalia that swings around wildly.
Gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. That doesn't help anybody.
And not to say Marlon Wayans ruined G.I. Joe. It was badly written. It wasn't Wayans' fault. Just saying.
Okay, good. So now, I know you're not a pilot like I am.
No.
Do you have any flying experience at all? Do you fly paper airplanes maybe? Or
When we went to New York Comic Con and we had that X-Wing simulator that you and I did, I think I did okay there.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah. We did pretty well with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you have a drone. You have a Millennium Falcon drone, I assume, right?
It's a drone in the sense that it's for indoor use only.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not to diminish it. This thing.
It's pretty cool.
Cool. I got to say, it's probably one of it's Air Hogs, I think, makes it. And it's one of the best Star Wars toys / novelty items to have come out of Force Friday.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah. I mean, I was actually leading down the path of I was going to buy a, you know, real outside type drone and build a styrofoam Falcon around it, which would have looked horrible compared to what these guys put together. But it would have been fun. Yeah. And now I don't have to because these guys did a great job with it.
Yeah. I mean, a quick plug to them. And to be fair, they gave us press review copies of it. And we've mentioned it before. So if we didn't like it, we were just being polite. We could keep our mouth shut now. But seriously, the Sphero BB-8 and this.
Mm-hmm.
Are like the two must-have recent Star Wars items. It handles really well. It controls well. It behaves as advertised. I've tried some other drones recently that I can't keep up in the air.
Right.
And not only this one does it stay up in the air, but the controls are pretty accurate.
Oh, yeah.
And easy.
Yeah, once you get the hang of it, it's pretty cool to fly around.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I digress a little bit because the story was really about drones in general and how you know, pervasive they are in society these days. I mean, you can't go anywhere without hearing about, you know, a problem with a drone or, you know, seeing footage from a drone on YouTube or something like that.
Right.
In fact, just this past week, this isn't part of the article we have here, but there was a aircraft strike, a drone in London.
Oh, yeah. Heathrow Airport.
Heathrow Airport. Yeah. A plane was on approach and hit a drone. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that is pretty bad. I mean, if that hit an engine, you could lose an engine pretty quickly.
That's the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, okay, so the drone's broken and you'll have to buy a new one. No, that's not the issue.
Right. You suck a drone through a turbofan engine and you're going to do some damage.
Yeah.
It's going to take the engine out and maybe the plane down.
Yeah.
Just like a bird strike, you know, it's that kind of problem. And, you know, we've heard about them causing problems around helicopters at, you know, fires and disaster sites where people are just trying to get video or get pictures of whatever is going on and hampering, you know, the real aid workers and the real people on rescue sites and so forth. So people have been trying to, I guess, get rid of the menace sometimes. You know, maybe you try to shoot one down or you throw a rock at it or you know, get a big stick.
You know, there was also a YouTube video where for testing for things that will damage human flesh, they use pig flesh a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And because it behaves a lot like human flesh and human skin for these types of tests. And they made up a fake body and put a drone with, and these were just plastic wings, and had it spin into the pig flesh. And not only did it cut through the pig flesh, I mean, obviously the propeller's jammed and this is a relatively cheap drone, but it basically impaled all the way through the pig flesh and got stuck in what would have been the human. So aside from like crashing aircraft and you know, rescue work and stuff like that, there's also just you can be standing out in your backyard
and get hurt.
And if one crashes into you, yeah, I mean, it can kill you.
Well, there was a story about the kid a couple of towns over from me, actually, in Clinton, Connecticut. He made news maybe a couple of years ago, maybe a year ago. He was taking photos from his drone on the beach in Hammonasset. And it was a big lawsuit over him taking photos of this woman that was on the beach and, you know, yada, yada, yada. All this stuff happened. Well, he made so much money off the, you know, putting that video out there and getting, you know, famous from this. He actually made a weaponized drone last year. I don't know if you heard about that. He mounted a 9mm on a drone. And,
oh, great.
Yeah. Had video of this thing flying in his backyard and shooting. Actually, you know, shooting remotely. And that made national news, and it made, you know, certainly the local news around here pretty well. But, you know, people are worried about drones. So what can you do? You know, is well, like one said, harassing you? Can you get rid of it?
Yeah, some people have been trying to shoot them down.
Yep. And now the FAA has come out and said it's a federal offense because it's an aircraft. I'm surprised by this stance. I mean,
me too.
They're not registered aircraft. Like, you know, you don't have to get an N number for it.
Well, you do have to register them now, though.
Do you?
Yeah. I know nothing about the registration process or anything like that. You probably do more than I do. But yeah, in fact, one of the benefits of the more expensive one they sell at Best Buy is that the company you buy it from will help you with the registration process. There's a certain point, a certain milestone at which you have to register them. Like the Millennium Falcon ones we have, we don't have to register.
Okay.
But the ones you go to Best Buy and spend like $500 on, those you do, apparently.
Yeah.
But I don't think registering them is like a difficult process or anything. I think it's basically the equivalent of registering a boat in the sense that there's a serial number on it. And if you tried to fly it into the White House or something and they needed to track down who it belonged to, this is how they would do it. I mean, it's like registering your dog.
Okay. I mean, FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, Unmanned Aircraft Systems Registration.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who owns a small unmanned aircraft that weighs more than a half a pound?
Really? Wow.
Yeah, anything that weighs more than 0.55 pounds, 250 grams, and less than 55 pounds must register with the Federal Aviation Administration's UAS registry before they fly outdoors.
Yeah, UAS, that's what it...
People who do not register could face civil and criminal penalties. Interesting.
Wow.
The owner must be 13 years or older, U.S. citizen or permanent resident. Interesting. I did not realize that. So, see, now we're giving out good information to the people now. See, we're a public service.
So, and again, obviously, this is applicable to the United States. I know we have a lot of international listeners out there, but they probably have some kind of legislation where they're at, too. But yeah, to say that you're damaging an aircraft, I understand why the FAA has such strict rules for damaging an aircraft. You can face 20 years in prison. But this isn't an aircraft with people in it.
Right.
I understand that you're still basically, you damage an aircraft and it's still going to fall out of the sky and you have no control over what or whom it will fall upon. So I understand.
Yeah, in that respect, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically you've got a slow moving bullet or cannonball.
Mm-hmm. But there's also very little restrictions on where and when these things can fly. So what do you do if you're being harassed? What do you do if you're being stalked, by somebody with a drone?
So here's the thing. If you fly a drone here's the other thing, too. You can't shoot one down on your own property. So if one is snooping in my bedroom window with a camera, aside from shooting it, okay, I understand. Trust me, I worked in law enforcement. I've got family members in law enforcement. I've been in the military, other family members in the military. I understand all of the risks of side effects of shooting off a firearm. It's not just what you're shooting it at. It's, you know, is the bullet going to ricochet? Are you going to miss and hit something behind your target, et cetera, et cetera. I get all that. Let's eliminate shooting from the equation. Like you said earlier, you can't throw a rock at it. I can't lean out of my bedroom window with a broomstick and beat the thing until it falls in the yard. I could face 20 years in prison for poking a drone hanging outside my bedroom window with a broomstick.
Wow.
Technically.
That's kind of crazy.
So what are you supposed to do? And people are saying, well, call the cops. You know, don't be a vigilante. Let law enforcement. Yeah, I get it. And I'm not for vigilante justice either. The thing is, by the time the cops actually show up, this thing's gone home.
Right.
Plus, what's the cop going to do? Oh, yep, there's a drone up in the sky. Well, no, it's driving over someone's backyard. Now I can't take my cop car back there, drive through a fence. So I guess it's gone. You know, there's right. nothing. And like yeah, you said, now that people are putting 9mm guns on. Not that everybody's doing it, but you have no idea what they're putting on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's only going to get more, you know, pervasive, I guess.
Yeah.
People are going to do more stuff with it. I mean, you know, just invasion of privacy alone, people can do video.
You can do video. You can do FLIR.
Photos, yep.
You can do infrared. You can do night vision. You can do audio. All of this stuff is not over the counter, but I mean, you can buy all this stuff from Amazon. I think you can even get laser microphones from Amazon, which the idea behind that is you shoot a laser at a window and the vibrations from the window that the laser reads, it then goes through a digital to analog converter to turn it into sound waves. So the noise in a room actually causes the window to vibrate microscopically, and it's picked up on a laser microphone. I mean, you can equip a drone with all this stuff.
I mean, technically, the airspace above the ground belongs to the Federal Aviation Administration. So something in the air above your property is not on your property.
Right. So you kids out there playing baseball, listen up. Seriously, though, I mean, that's the thing. There should be a point at which, like, you know, within, I don't know, 50 feet, like, you know, 50 feet above the ground on my property is still my property. I'm not just buying the grass.
Right. There should be something. I mean,
you know, a foot above the ground is that
anymore, but it may have changed since I flew. But, you know, no, you couldn't get closer than 500 feet to an object or, you know, a person if you're flying. So in some of the uncontrolled areas of the country where there's no rules governing where you have to be, you can come as low as 500 feet to the ground or structure.
But here's the thing.
Different than a drone. A drone, you know, there's really no rules for that as far as I know. I mean, there could be now, but.
But even if there are rules, if you're flying a Cessna, one of the reasons you don't want to get within 500 feet of a house is because.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous for you, for the house. But if you've got a little drone the size of my laptop computer, you know, that's not going to stop you. And it hovers. That's the thing. A Cessna doesn't. A helicopter obviously does. But a drone, it can just sit there stationary and, in theory, is no danger to anyone. So what's going to keep that from? I mean, you can be 2 feet away from, again, from someone's bedroom window. And there's nobody stopping you. Yeah, there are rules, but people don't follow the rules.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think that the legislation surrounding drone usage, it's another one of those things where, much like the internet, the technology is so far ahead of the legislation that we're going to end up with some really badly enacted legislation before we get to a point where things are the way they need to be. I think that's just, that's how the world works. The people who make the laws are generally not the most tech-savvy people out there, whether that's internet technology, aeronautical technology, or what have you, medical technology, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it's also the fact this is so new, the laws are still catching up with it, you know?
Right.
More and more rules will come out and make the, you know, the drone arena much less Wild Wild West pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. Well, speaking of lawsuits, our what were they thinking segment. I mean, I guess we kind of did that with the cinematic universe stuff a little bit, but just an honorable mention.
Oh, honorable mention this week. Okay, yes. Cool.
Because we can't go too many episodes without mentioning Kanye. There's now
we're going to change this segment just to the Kanye segment, aren't we?
You know that whole meme, you know, what would, I don't know that it's necessarily a meme, but the movement, what would Jesus do? We need to have a What Would Kanye Do?
Very good.
I think that's what we need to do for our new segment. We'll have, you know, we'll comment on something from the entertainment industry, and then we'll say, well, what would Kanye do? So there's a class action lawsuit against Tidal over Kanye's album, because a lot of people signed up for that in order to get Kanye's album, which he swore up and down would never go anywhere but Tidal. And then like a week later, it was everywhere else. And people are upset about that. And I agree. I would be upset too. So, class action lawsuit's been filed. We'll see where it goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Keep us posted, because, you know, we're all into, you know, anything Kanye. So,
well, yeah.
By all means, I want to know more.
You want to do the lightning round this week? Because I didn't get the box office results in here.
No, so okay, sure.
I'll get those, and you can get the lightning round.
Sure. I'll see this week here. Blade Runner 2 moved up to October.
Yeah,
first begins in July. That's awesome. Good news.
Now that's next October, 2017.
Yeah, I mean, if it was this October, I'd be like really psyched. But the
I'd be
production in July would be a little tough for this October.
Yeah,
I'd be a little worried about the result too. It might not be such a great movie.
Yeah.
Let's see. MTV president says they're rebranding to focus more on music. Oh my God. Wow. You don't say.
Yeah.
Including a relaunched MTV Unplugged. Oh, that was a good series back in the day.
It was. It was excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. MTV music television. What a novel concept.
Yeah. It hasn't
music,
been
music on my music television again.
Hasn't focused on music in how long now?
It's been forever. I didn't even know MTV was still around, to tell you the truth.
Well, they have all these reality shows and stuff, which I guess they're also going to be getting rid of. Or well, they'll be music-related reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
New Doctor Who companion being revealed this weekend. I feel like a really bad Doctor Who fan. I haven't seen any this season.
We'll talk about Doctor Who after the lightning round.
Okay. Humans 2 has been picked up and started production.
Cool.
It's season 2 of that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, to make sure that's what you had in there. Yeah, I liked The Humans. It was a good series.
I thought so too, but I hadn't heard anything about whether it had been picked up. So.
Yeah, I hadn't either. That's good to hear. I like that. Good news. Deadpool DVD will have two commentary tracks.
Yay!
That's awesome.
Very awesome.
Bad news is one of those from Rob Liefeld. Why are you dissing him?
Do you really want to know?
No, I don't really.
Because there's a story.
Oh, is there?
Oh, Peter David. You know who Peter David is?
No.
Okay. He's an author of a lot of very well-respected Star Trek novels. Some of the most well-respected Marvel comics of all time. A lot of, when you talk about writers of Marvel comics, a lot of people, especially from the heyday of recent comics, which would be probably the mid-90s, people think Chris Claremont. Peter David is right up there with Chris Claremont.
Okay.
He, when a bunch of people left to create Image Comics, this is another thing we should spin off into random chatter. We brought it up here. when they spun off into Image Comics, Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, Jim Lee, Wills Portacio, Eric Larson, Jim Valentino, I think I'm forgetting a few others. These were all artists and writers from Marvel who didn't like the fact that when they created a new character, Marvel owned it. So they wanted to create a creator-owned comic book publishing company. And I can respect that. What I couldn't really respect was the fact that when they did it, they did it with a lot of, some of them did it with a lot of respect and restraint and professionalism. Others did it with a little less maturity, including, in my personal opinion, Todd McFarlane and Rob Liefeld. And there was kind of a rivalry going on because Peter David used to write an article for Comic Book Weekly called But I Digress. Very popular article. In fact, it was compiled into different compilations and released in graphic novel form. Brilliant articles. And one of them was about Rob Liefeld copying images from other classic comic books. Like, he would take a 2-page spread from his Wildcats comic that he started for Image, and Peter David would put it side by side with the 2-page spread of Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four. And it was exactly the same image, just with different costumes.
Ah, that's like, interesting.
The effects were the same. Like, when the Human Torch is flying through the air, like, the flame trails behind him were even copied. And it wasn't just one example. Peter David was going through and finding example after example after example and putting them up side by side and saying, listen, this guy needs to address this. This guy's making money off of these other artists, Jack Kirby and a bunch of other classic artists. And, you know, he's holding these up as his own great accomplishments in artwork, because one of the other complaints about Rob Liefeld was that his anatomy was atrocious. Look at some of the New Mutants comics, and while the writing was really good, these people, you would have someone with biceps as big around as my waist on 7-foot-tall men who would wear a size 2 women's shoe. And I kid you not, I'm being literal here, with 3 elbows. Like, the arm that was coming from the opposite side of the camera, the top of the arm, the bicep, would be coming out of the guy's waist, and it would go forward and then up with the guy holding the gun. Well, that would mean that the rest of the joint going into the shoulder, there'd have to be an additional joint there. The anatomy was just freaking ridiculous. And so Rob Liefeld was saying, no, I know how to do good artwork. Look at this. So then Peter David came back with these articles and said, well, look at that. Well, yeah, because it's Jack Kirby. You didn't right. do that. So there was this big war going on. And the way Rob Liefeld wouldn't just say, okay, you know what? Yeah, I messed up. Let's move on. It was, no, I was paying homage to those artists. That's not plagiarism. So there was this whole war that started up, and Peter David's like, well, okay, let's get a dictionary. I mean, far be it for me to understand words. I'm just a writer, but, and so he, it became this thing. Rob Liefeld, in how ridiculous he was handling it, turned it into a series of articles instead of just a single article. And it was, very enlightening. And ever since then, aside from the fact that his artwork is, after decades and decades and decades, his artwork is finally getting to be moderately acceptable. Like, I still wouldn't pay him to draw comics, but, you know, it's okay, sort of, sometimes on a good day. But I have no respect for Rob Liefeld. Oh, and the other thing that I don't like that he's doing now, he's the creator of Deadpool. Well, no, he drew Deadpool. Fabian Nicieza, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, created the character. And Rob Liefeld created the visual design. But no. Rob Liefeld will tell you, yeah. Fabian helped. I created Deadpool. And see, that just pisses me off. Not because it's Deadpool, but nobody should do that about any creative content. So that's why I have very little respect for Rob Liefeld.
Sounds like all very valid reasons.
Yeah, who will probably now sue me for slander or something. So, oh well. I have a right to my opinion.
You do.
Where were we?
In the lightning round.
The lightning round. Sure.
Okay, we keep going here. We'll finish this up real quick. HBO is free this weekend because Game of Thrones premieres.
Nice.
I'm still not caught up on. I'm getting there.
Season 5 was good.
I'm in season 3.
See, I'm sorry. Season 3 was good.
I'm catching up.
You're getting there.
There's a new Division exploit that gives you unlimited damage. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Maybe not. We'll talk more about that in the next show on Random Chatter.
Yes.
And Amazon Video is now offering an $11 a month package, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Used to be you only could get that with Prime, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So instead of paying $100 a year, you can pay $11 a month, which is basically the same.
Well, it's no. This is for the video, I think. Now, you can. There's a monthly fee
for... So you pay you the same and get less.
Yeah, well, you can pay to get Prime monthly now, too, I think, but then there's also a video-only option.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, so, which isn't bad, but really, it's still a better deal to just pay annually for Amazon. But people, at least here in the United States, they don't like doing that. They like, well, how much do I have to pay right now? I want it to just be a little tiny bit right now, rather than looking at it over the course of a year and saying, well, why would I want to pay an extra $30 right. over the course of a year instead of just paying the whole thing right now, not having to worry about it coming out every month. You know, people, I think it's people in the United States manage their money differently than people.
People are looking for monthly payments instead of what the total cost is.
Yeah. I mean, look at the cell phone thing. We, for years, we used to look at like places like Europe and stuff like that. Oh my gosh, I only paid 99 cents for my cell phone. You have to pay $650. Well, that's because you're locked into a 2-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then part of what you're paying every month is actually you're paying off the subsidy for the phone you got. And after that phone is paid off, if you don't get a new phone, you're still continuing to make subsidy payments on something that you've already fully paid off.
Right.
Like people just don't.
That's the bigger part of it, right?
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's what's going on with Amazon Video. And you know, the Doctor Who companion thing, I think we're at about an hour for this episode, so we'll talk about that on Random Chatter too.
Okay. Sounds good.
If you're looking for it, it'll be Random Chatter 107. So I guess we should do the box office results. We're also going to talk about the movie draft on Random Chatter. I know.
Right, right. People are anxious to hear about that, how well Hardcore Henry did for you.
Hush. Is it still on the top 10? No, not on the top 10. We only covered the top 5.
The first week, was it?
Yeah, no, it was. It made number 5 in week 1. It opened with 5 million.
And that's okay. I had a movie this weekend that was in not wide release. It was only in 3 theaters. It made $87,000. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Seriously, though, for 3 theaters, that's a lot. And
it
people
is.
Are saying
it
when it hits wide release, it's going to do well as a result. Like, this was basically a preview release. It's still coming to wide release.
Although everything I saw said the 15th was supposed to be wide release, but now we'll find out later.
Well, yeah.
So do you have the results?
I do. I'm sad.
Why are you sad?
Well, because Hardcore Henry. All right. So number one, not a big surprise, The Jungle Book brought in an impressive $103.3 million. In its opening weekend.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I saw that this week. I'll talk about that on Random Chatter as well. Barbershop The Next Cut got $20.2 million and rave reviews, too. People are saying it's really good. It scored high in Rotten Tomatoes, too, if I recall. The Boss, in its second week, dropped to number 3, $10 million, bringing it to a total of $40.1 million. Batman versus Superman of Dawn of Justice is still in the top 5. It's been here for a month now, 4 weeks, and it brought in $9 million for a total of $311 million. It's, the amount it drops week from week is depressing.
But, you know, 4 weeks, it's still chugging along.
Yeah, but by comparison, it brought in $9 million this week. Zootopia brought in $8.1 million this week. And it's been out for 7 weeks.
Right, but look at their total. They're pretty close.
True, true. Zootopia brought in
307. 3 more weeks and it's made, $3 million less.
Yeah. I'm curious as to how much Zootopia cost to make, though, because I think Batman versus Superman probably cost a lot more. I bet they're getting a better bang for their buck on Zootopia.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So that's the top 5. Criminal opened at number 6 with $5.8 million. I bring it up just because it's its first week in release.
I was surprised to see that was so low. It looks really good, but...
It does look really good, but I haven't seen a lot of marketing for it. I think a lot of people... I mean, you see a ton of marketing for Jungle Book. If you ask people what's out in the theaters right now, they're going to tell you Jungle Book, The Boss, Barbershop, Batman vs. Superman, and Zootopia, and that's about it. Some people might mention My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and nobody else knows what's out. So they didn't market it very well.
Nope, they certainly didn't.
Oh, well. DVDs this week? I don't know. I'm still pulling that up. I didn't get that far in the show notes yet tonight, but I do know that Game of Thrones is coming to HBO this weekend.
Yep.
So that's obviously a big deal. The Revenant came out recently on DVD. So did Norm of the North, which is probably the biggest DVD release, if I recall correctly. That was this past week, 2 days ago. Looking over the list here, Standoff, Misconduct.
As far as movies go, I know Huntsman comes out this week.
Yes. Oh, Mr. Right.
Theaters.
That was one of my movie draft picks.
Oh.
It's out on DVD, yeah. Poor Anna Kendrick. She had two straight-to-DVD releases this month.
I think she needs a hug. I should give her a call.
Let me know how that works out for you.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Well, I think that brings us to an end then, I guess, this week.
Yeah. All right. So let us know what you think of any of the stuff we covered this week. You can shoot us an email at outerrim@randomchatter.com.
Especially and, if you of course, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at the same time. Well, you wouldn't want to do both of us at the same time. The universe might implode. But on Facebook, yes. It's facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. On Twitter, you can find the podcast feed at Outer Rim Podcast. You can also find us at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI. And you can find Eric at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE.
Yes, I was about to say in that awkward silence there for a second when I probably should have said more and you were prepared for me to go dark. I was going to say we would especially love to hear from people, even if only on Twitter, about any of the 80s stuff that we talked about. Because we're kind of, you know, we're kids of the 80s.
We are 80s geeks, yes.
Yeah, so G.I. Joe, Transformers, Hasbro stuff, and Hanna-Barbera. So, yeah, if you don't want to email us at outerrim@randomchatter.com, hit us up on Twitter. And you can find all of the Random Chatter shows, of course, at randomchatter.com, including episode 107 of Random Chatter. It will be posted this coming Monday. Some of the things that spilled over from this episode are going to be there. And we just got a new episode of the Retro Convo. I haven't gotten a chance to listen to it yet, but
I haven't either. No.
Yeah, it came out this morning. It looks like it's covering The Simpsons, which, I mean, talk about an iconic property. So that's
definitely
good. Yeah, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I know that this season's been really good.
It's been awesome, yeah.
Raised the level of epicness. Epicosity?
Think you should just go over your head, yeah.
Yeah, moving on. And, of course, Echo Base, Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, et cetera. New Sabacc table coming out soon, too. We're going to record
this. Yeah, we record Sunday, yep.
Yeah.
And of course, let everybody know about the show. If you like the show and you have friends that are into similar things, let them know about the show. Leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, you know, just tell your friends about us. And don't forget, we do record live on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9:15 or so, but 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Join us in the chat room. They tend to add to the banter we have here on the show and keep us on the straight and narrow sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's hard keeping us on the straight and narrow.
That's very true.
It's like herding cats.
I do like Joel's suggestion of a hardcore Henry cinematic universe. I do like that. I think that would be great.
Oh, Lord. All of them could still cross over. I see that, but it's probably on video already, right?
You see a guy running around with like a helmet cam on his head as you're shooting at him. Anyway, all right. Thanks to everybody who supported us through Patreon. There have been quite a few people who've been a big help to the network. Joel, Tim, Derek, Jeremy, Jared, Alex, the other Jared, Jeff, Joe, Joshua, Blake. I think I've got probably a couple more people I need to add to the list here. Thank you. We really appreciate it. And especially thanks to those who have donated at the level to hang out with us in the Slack channel, because my gosh, that makes my week.
It does. It's been a lot better. Of
fun. It's like work has become manageable in a large part thanks to the Slack channel.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad. I might be a little less active in Slack with my new job, so I don't know.
Well, it'll be temporary. And the nice thing about Slack is, unlike Twitter, if you miss something, it's still there.
Right. I know. I like that.
Yeah. You can still go back and scroll back up and join in the conversation. So, Slack. It's awesome. Anyway, if you'd like more information on how to join our Slack community, or to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter.
And that's about it. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
The Force will be with you always.